You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Countdown to tip-off. Rapidly approaching. We're going to be breaking it down. Mark Lawrence joins us. Playbook.com as Mark joins us every Wednesday. Mark Lawrence throws it down with us. Chris Meaney will join us in studio. Paul Bovey returns to the program. We'd like to get Paul on more, but they only seem to play basketball games like every 4 or 5 days. So Paul Bovey joins us on the program. We'll be basketball heavy on the show today. They're back on the ice tomorrow night. We'll kick the tires on this a little bit. It seems like there's a little bit of a goaltending question right now with the Pittsburgh Penguins. They might go back with Marc-Andre Fleury as they go back home. It's not Murray's fault, yet it worked for Sullivan before when he shook things up. This time it might be a sign of desperation, though. I don't know. We'll break it down a little bit with Chris Meaney. Jeremy Maclin, the Maclin-Buffalo saga continues. I saw people in Buffalo last night saying that, oh, the Buffalo Bills are taking Jeremy Maclin out. You know, where should they take him to dinner? And no offense, I'm a Buffalo Bill fan, but people were talking about, like, it's the greatest steaks in the world. Oh, if he goes there, he'll never want to leave. No, no, you know what he's never going to want to leave? If you put a check on the table for $7 million. Here's seven. You could take Maclin to Taco. You know, I love that. Ooh, where is he going to go to eat? You know what? I'd say, listen, dude, we're going to Taco Bell. I don't really care for that five-star crap. So what are we looking at? Six, seven? What are we looking at here, dude? Like, let's just, you know, let's cut the crap and get down to business. And hey, hey, McCoy, you know, what's your deal anyways? I would never, ever commit a crime with you, McCoy. Like, seriously, I love you. You're a great running back. You're worth every dollar you give it to the Buffalo Bills. But would you commit a crime with LeSean McCoy? I mean, you know, like, you know, it's like Goodfellas. Does the guy lay low? No, he doesn't lay low. He throws parties with, like, 82 chicks. So, wait, we know he doesn't lay low. The dude punches cops. But, you know, LeSean McCoy puts $200,000 down on the NBA Finals. He's showing everybody. It's like, dude, what are you doing? I'm down low. Hey, look at me. I'm an agent. I'm getting Jeremy Maclin to come. Oh, it's a done deal. Today's not a done deal yet, all right? Not a done deal yet, but it does help the Bills. The fact that Eric Decker is now available, and I think Decker is actually going to be more sought after than Maclin will be. I think it's imminent, actually, that Macklin's going to end up with the Buffalo Bills. I promise, starting next week, we'll start with our NFL previews. I'm basically waiting for this final crap to get over with, all right? Once we're done with the Stanley Cup and the NBA. But nevertheless, all right, so we spent so much time counting down the start to the National Football League regular season, and we spent so much time talking about the NBA Finals, the Stanley Cup Finals, and hell, Major League Baseball, UFC, and everything else in between. We've forgotten that the NBA Draft is rapidly approaching it. I guess, you know, it sort of has to, doesn't it? I mean, we're midway through freaking June right now, man. So, like, you know, I guess the NBA draft almost has to be around the corner. And I was thinking, what is this NBA draft anyways, man? Come on, let's do this thing. Nevertheless, the NBA draft is in 15 days from now. It's around the corner. And, of course, the most talked about player in the draft has been Lonzo Ball. And not for the right reasons, as Lonzo Ball has more red flags, all right, around him than the United Nations building does. But doesn't seem to matter to the L.A. Lakers. Now, what I don't get, and I do get that the Lakers like him, it seems like a good fit. You know, you have the UCLA, the L.A. connections, etc. But is it just me, or like the Los Angeles Lakers, like a poker player, playing with their cards facing up so everybody can see? It's like, yeah, we know you like Lonzo Ball. We get it. And I get that there are no secrets in the National Basketball Association either, all right? There's less secrets in the NBA than there is in Trump's White House. And we know everything that's going on in Trump's White House, all right? It's like a high school cafeteria. But you can at least fake it, man. You can at least fake it. The Boston Celtics are already loaded. The Boston Celtics, everything's coming up Boston all the time. So, of course, the Boston Celtics, I don't think they want to deal with the head case that is Lonzo Ball. And the crazy thing is, Ball, not even the best player in the draft. Is he a slam dunk, can't miss superstar? I'm not so sure he is. I guess he could be the next Jason Kidd. I guess he could be the next Steve Nash. Or maybe he's Ricky Rubio. I don't know. What I do know is his father's a jackass. And I know that the L.A. Lakers are having a workout with Lonzo Ball today. And LeVar is not welcome at the workout. I'm sure this is going to go down well. So I'm curious to see in the next 24 hours if LeVar Ball squawks about the L.A. Lakers not letting him come. You know, at some point, dude, you got to let your kid go, right? At some point, you know, it's sort of like those car commercials and stuff like that. I've never experienced that. You know, with the car commercial and you push the kid on the bus. Hey, LeVar, push the kid on the bus. Let him go. Go hawk those piece of crap shoes that you're hawking. And let your kid try to become a man right now. But the L.A. Lakers, and I get they have Magic Johnson there, but the L.A. Lakers, this has been their problem. They're full of head cases, all right? They're full of stupid head case, dumb kids, you know, that are heckling girls on the street, more interested in banging pop stars than they are banging the boards. Randall's the only kid that's got a heart on that team. D'Angelo Russell's a snitch. He sucks, like everyone that goes to Ohio State does. So he sucks. You got Nick Young. Come on, Nick Young. Listen, I'd like to go to a strip club with Nick Young, but I wouldn't sign Nick Young for my basketball team. And you guys are going to bring in another freaking head case here. But like I said, everybody knows you want him. At least fake it a little bit. Because now Boston can play head games with you. And watch Boston just draft him to screw you. And don't forget, Boston and L.A., they're rivals. You don't think Danny Ainge is thinking right now, these guys are idiots. You know what? I could just pull some kind of crazy deal here and screw the Lakers over. I don't even think he wants Lonzo Ball. But maybe he's not in love with Markelle Fultz. So, you know, if you're the L.A. Lakers, stop, you know, tipping your hand all the time. I got to tell you what, I love to play poker with Pelinka and Johnson, although I don't have the money they do. For all the freaking trouble you're worth, Lonzo Ball, you better be damn good. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We are live. The show replays at 5:30 on television, 5 o'clock on the radio, and 10 o'clock tonight, Red Heat and Rage Radio with me and Cam Stewart every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 o'clock Eastern on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. If you missed last night's Morenci Unfiltered with me and Cam, it's one of the all-time classics. I've been doing TV with Cam for a long time. And next to Cam getting tapped out, not tapping out, getting choked out by Boss Rutan. Second funniest thing that we've ever seen before. All right, I'm about to throw something. I don't know why you guys are moving so much. I feel like Chris Berman here. Like, people moving all the time. Stop moving. All right. Mark Lawrence. How you doing, Mark?
I'm stationary, Gabe. How you doing?
Yeah, we're doing good. We're doing good. Like, I don't know if you ever seen the meltdown of Chris Berman. He tells people, I don't know why you're moving so much in the TV studio. He's like, stop freaking moving. It's like on a Monday Night Football commercial break.
I never saw it.
Yeah, just look it up after, Mark. Just go to YouTube. Just do Chris Berman meltdown, Chris Berman rant, Chris Berman tirade. Or whatever. It's epic stuff. It's epic stuff. All right, so let's get down to business, Mark. Last year, man, you played this like a maestro. Stradivarius. You know, you were nailing it. You ended up with plus money on both sides of the series. There's a big opportunity to do this with the Golden State Warriors now minus 1,500 and the Cleveland Cavaliers plus 900. But with that being stated, it doesn't have the same feel as last year, does it, Mark?
It certainly doesn't, Gabe. I had to do it. I had to play Cleveland. I played them plus 1,000. with playing with a little bit of house money in that sense, if you will. But the truth of the matter is, you know, this, like you say, doesn't have the same feel. You know, Kevin Durant is present. The Cavaliers appear lost. They don't even look competitive so far in this series. So it's very, very difficult to do. But because of value, and I'm saying purely value, if Cleveland wins this basketball game Wednesday night, the value works in our favor. So I did it plus 1,000, the Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll see what we do with it from this point forward.
It really does. And, you know, you're like, You're like a successful Wall Street guy. You've got a diverse portfolio, and you figure, yeah, we got to get this stock right now. Because like you said, it's plus 900, plus 1,000 right now. They win tonight. It's a big swing. It probably gets cut in half immediately, Mark. And who knows? Suddenly they win again, and it's two. And then you got maybe a buyback on the other side coming. I think it's smart. Now, it's funny you said it, because I was looking at the numbers here. And so the Warriors are now minus 1,500. Cavs plus 900. Warriors to sweep, plus 175. Warriors to win in five is plus 140. So that's what the sports books are thinking. If the Cavaliers win one basketball game here. Warriors win in six, plus 550. And I got to tell you, Mark, I'm thinking there might be a little bit of value with that one. You know, if the Cavs can get this one tonight, suddenly they just need one more. And you can cash it plus 550.
I wouldn't disagree with the Warriors in six, Gabe. I certainly couldn't play the Warriors to sweep. It'd be the first time ever it happened in NBA history, and you're only getting it plus 175 for something that's never happened before. That's not any kind of value whatsoever. In fact, there'd be a little bit of pressure on Golden State if they were to win Wednesday night to sweep in game four in the next basketball game. But I'm agreeing with you. I think this still has got a six-game series sweep written all about it, five or six games, but those are the two positions I would take.
Yeah, Mark, we had one of your colleagues on, Steve Merrill, earlier in the week, and you know you look at this matchup, and you break down the numbers. You know, as you stated, nobody's ever gone 16-0 before, so that's the motivating factor for the Golden State Warriors. Not that you need more of a motivating factor in a championship before, but Steve said earlier in the week that no matter what happens tonight, he sort of likes Golden State. On Friday night, to set up. If Cleveland wins tonight, he thinks Golden State bounces back. If Golden State wins tonight, and I ask you this, let's say Golden State wins tonight, Mark, are you calling a sweep on Friday then?
No, I'm not going to call a sweep because, number one, it's the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's LeBron James. And, you know, they're the top seed of the Eastern Conference. It's not like these 3-0 series sweeps where we find teams sweeping in four games and they're beating nondescript basketball teams. Cleveland is far from a nondescript basketball team. I think their pride would really come out in game number four of this series here. So I'll go the opposite way with Steve in a game four scenario situation.
All right. So it sounds like you think Warriors in five then. I got to be honest. I was wrong about the series. I thought we were looking at a six, probably seven game series. We can't write Cleveland off yet. But generally what I don't like, Mark, is, you know, the old adage in sports. And we see it in the Stanley Cup. Look, the Nashville Predators were down 2-0 to the Pittsburgh Penguins. And Sidney Crosby's a LeBron James of the NHL. All right? So it's the same thing. They're down 2-0. They're the 16 seed. They didn't, you know, they didn't put their tail between their legs and start crying and ooh. They went home and took care of business. And I'm shocked to see LeBron James, the resignation in his eyes and his comments in which we shouldn't be in this spot. It's a tough spot to be in. It's like, dude, you should be saying, hey, we haven't even played at home yet. This series is far from over. But that's why when I say it doesn't feel like last year, it seems like LeBron is almost resigned to he's not coming back and winning this.
Well, that look in his eyes, Gabe, was probably something similar to if you invaded Normandy and the beach at Normandy, how you felt about the situation, seeing those bullets flying and coming at you. What are you going to do to stop them? That's probably the feeling that he has right now. But, you know, I will say this. It's one game at a time for the Cleveland Cavaliers. If they take care of business tonight, and I think they will, you know, you go back and you look at LeBron James' portfolio and his career in the NBA playoffs when he's been at home. Off of a loss of 14 or more points. It's been five times. He's won and covered all five of those basketball games. So he responds in games in front of the home crowd off embarrassing situations. That's the role the Cavs are in tonight. Let them win tonight. Then it'll be one game at a time for Cleveland.
Yeah, and he's been down 0-2 in the playoffs five times before. As far as game three is concerned, he's won four of those five games. So I think it is it's a little bit too early. You know, listen, I don't think the Cavs are coming back and winning the series, but I'm with you, Mark. And I got to tell you, is this dangerous? Is this a dangerous move on my behalf? I'm not even taking the 3.5. I'm just going with the money line because I figure either they're going to beat them or they're not. It's one of these type of deals. I don't think it's going to – they don't play close games, these two teams. It's been the last 11 games. They're all double-digit games. Last year, game three, I don't need to tell you, the Cavs won by 30.
Yeah, that hook's pretty important when it comes to 3 or 3.5. I think the half point makes me get to the Cavs and taking the points in this contest here tonight, just in case. I guess it's called an insurance factor there that way. But, it's really, really difficult because everybody remembers what they saw last, and they're seeing Golden State pummel the Cleveland Cavaliers, and it's hard to line up with Cleveland in a basketball game like this. But I'm with you. I'm with LeBron James. I think we're going to find the best of them. For them to move forward, Gabe, I'm going to throw this one final note out there that last year it was fortuitous what happened with them, the Draymond Green situation. They're going to almost need somebody to be taken out of the Golden State lineup for them to have a chance to win the series. Something's going to have to happen that's going to be catastrophic from Golden State standpoint. But again, they're not worrying about that down the road. They're worrying about winning this game tonight.
Well, I said last week that athletes shouldn't be taking Uber, or at least star athletes shouldn't be taking Uber. I don't know, maybe Durant and Curry share an Uber and get lost on the way to the arena tonight, because that's like you said. And I agree with you, and I've been saying the same thing. I'm not saying, Golden State are going to wilt or they have these big weaknesses or anything like that. But when you take Cleveland tonight, you got to just sort of hope that Golden State aren't quite as good as they have been. And I almost get a feeling it's like the dream team, Mark. I mean, when you watch the U.S. team in the Olympics all the time, we haven't even seen them really break a sweat. You know, Golden State were challenged a little bit early in some of these games, but they can raise it up to another notch. But Mark, you remember this. Let's go back to the first round of the playoffs against Portland. I think Portland were up by 18 or 20 or something like that in game three at home. Game four, they had an early lead. They blew it. The Utah Jazz at home, they kept on. I remember they were up by 10 or 11, like late in the third quarter in one of those home games, and they wilted. Golden State does leave that window open when they go on the road. You just got to keep the pedal on the metal.
Unquestionably, and this is the role you'll find Cleveland in tonight, at home, looking to expose Golden State. Where they're, if they do have an Achilles heel, like you say, it's on the road in situations like this, especially off bad beats. So that door's open, the window's cracked for the Cleveland Cavaliers. They can only blame themselves if they don't take advantage.
All right, so before we move on, Mark, the total is interesting. Game two sailed way over the number. Game one stayed way under the number. It's really hard to take an under in this, the way... You know, the way that they played the other night and the fact that Cleveland can't stop them, but it's a lot of points, 226.5 points.
It's a ton of points, Gabe. And in fact, in the USA today, they broke down about points per 100 possessions and how the Cavaliers need to take the air out of the ball here tonight. LeBron James insists it's not his style, but the fact of the matter is they did it last year in this particular game, in Game 3, and they did it every game moving forward here. They're going to have to lower those points per time of possession for Golden State, which means if they're successful, I think they'll go under this total. It's a big, big total here tonight.
Yeah, it's interesting. We're going to talk about that with Paul Bovey as far as the pace, because it seems pretty clear that they do need to slow it down, get Tristan Thompson more involved, play some physical basketball with the Golden State Warriors a little bit. LeBron says, no, we can't do that. That's not who we are. That's not our style. Well, you know what, LeBron? You're not the coach, so, we'll see. But maybe he is, right? So I guess we'll see. We'll find out tonight. Maybe LeBron's throwing a smokescreen, and they really are just going to try to play some half-court basketball. All right, Mark, NHL, Game 5, that goes tomorrow night. It's been a fun series, man. Very, very competitive series. Those Nashville fans are crazy. They stand up all game. But Pittsburgh have always been at their best when they're desperate and their backs are against the wall. It's not a technical must-win hockey game, but it might as well be for the Penguins here. Mark, what's your take?
Well, my take, as I mentioned in the Coffee Club, Gabe, I played Nashville plus 405 in this series here when they were down 0-2, looking for them to possibly win two games at home, level this thing back out to get it where it was for the series price. The fact of the matter is Nashville is playing the better hockey right now. I don't think any hockey fan would dispute that. You watch their games, you see the better team is the Nashville Predators in all four games. But the bottom line here is they have to go into Pittsburgh, win this game, and come back to Nashville to perhaps not have to go to the Igloo for the Game 7. This is going to be a good hockey game. I think this is going to be a fierce game. It's going to be played like Game 7 because Pittsburgh need this game like blood to stop this Nashville wave that's going on right now.
Yeah, I'm pulling for the Predators. And I'll tell you what, Mark, I've been killing this Stanley Cup Finals. I'm 4-0 on the sides. And so 2-2, 2-2 with the totals. So 6-2 in this, and I've actually hit a bunch of no goal in the first 9:30 here. So my heart, I'm pulling for the Preds. I'm a PK Subban fan. But with that being said, I think the Pens are the play tomorrow. I think they go home. They go back to Nashville. Nashville get it done. I think this this sucker's going seven games. I really do.
Well, Subban's going to load up on a lot of garlic, getting Crosby's face, and let him know about the halitosis factor involved in this game. But he's been a great addition to this hockey program, has P.K. Subban. He's the leader, and he's what I think stirs the ice for this hockey team. I know Pekka Rinne has played terrific in spots, especially he was the best player on ice in Game 4. But Subban is the leader of this team, and he'll carry them forward.
Yeah, Listerine's gotten a couple of $1 million of free publicity and advertising over the last couple of days. Crosby says he's lying. Crosby said, I don't even know what he's talking about, but he goes, whatever. If he wants to say it, I don't even care. Red Sox and Yankees. I was on the Red Sox last night. It was getting a little hot. I was sweats late watching that bullpen meltdown with Kimbrough, but they got it done. But I like the bounce back factor here. Porcello's actually been getting better, Mark. Last couple of starts, he's been good, but CC Sabathia, man, how about this? He's only allowed 4 runs in his last 4 starts.
Yeah, it's like a born-again arm for CC Sabathia. Everybody giving up on him out of spring camp
when
he's getting shelled.
Cologne's done, and now Sabathia is the new fat guy.
That's a great point. The fat left-hander is getting it done now. And he's doing it in pretty impressive fashion here. He's gone up 6 times against the AL East. He's won all 6 games. The flip side, Porcello's lost all 6 starts against the AL East as well. And I don't like Porcello's numbers on the road. Like you say, he's getting better. There's no argument about that. But his numbers on the road, he gets lost. And I just don't see him finding it at Yankee Stadium tonight. I'm with the big left-hander.
All right, we've got 1 minute here, Mark. A couple of Major League Baseball quick hits. I can tell we got an afternoon gem. Strasburg versus Kershaw, great stuff. Not often you get Kershaw -160 on his home field. I like it, the fact that the Dodgers have lost a couple of games in a row to these guys right now. I have a lot of respect for Strasburg. And I tell you, Mark, so I also don't like laying 6.5 unders very often. But that sunshine out there, you're going to get some shadows later in the game. Very, very interesting, Mark. I can't wait. When this show's done, and I do Unfiltered, I'm going to go home and watch this baseball game. I like the under, and I like the Dodgers here.
I like both sides with you in this game. I think this is going to be a classic pitching matchup here right now. Remember this. Kershaw has gone up against this team 15 times. He's made 15 starts. He's cashed 13, 10 in a row he's beat Washington. Kershaw has. He steps up in big games like this, maybe not in the regular, more so in the regular season, but I like the fact that he's knocked this team down 10 times in a row. This is the biggest dog Strasburg's ever been as well, but for justified reason here, I'm with you. I like Kershaw and the Dodgers to go under in this game here this afternoon.
And finally, in closing, we'll be quick here, Mark, but I've got a team on the list. I'm officially done with these guys. You know, if they start winning a bunch of games in a row, maybe I'll hop on the bandwagon, but I'm not anticipating anytime soon. But I'm freaking done, 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 done with the St. Louis Cardinals. Like, God, these guys have cost me money, Mark. They're 5-15 in their last 20. They've lost 5 in a row. Man, they suck rocks.
Well, there is no excuse for it. You've got Carlos Martinez. You've got Mike Leake. You've got pretty good, decent pitching there for this staff, and they can't win baseball games. But, you know, just about when you're ready to say you're done and hop off the high board with this team, might be the time you want to get on them, because they're losing. There's getting to be value with this baseball team. Let them win 2 or 3 games, Gabe, and then go back and hop back on the same.
I know. It goes in streaks, but this has been a long bad streak. Thing is, the Cardinals have always had that innate ability to find a way to win games, and they've always shown that heart. They don't seem to have heart, and they seem to find ways to lose games now. Nevertheless, Mark Lawrence's playbook, preview football magazine, is going to be on newsstands June 27th. Check it out, the digital version. Playbook.com and on your mobile device. Always a pleasure, Mark.
Hey, my pleasure, Gabe. Enjoy the games and good luck with the Dodgers.
Mark Lawrence with us. All right, Paul Bovey joins us next. Let's talk some basketball props. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Paul Bovey joins us. How you doing, Paul?
Yeah, pretty good. You?
Good, good. Thanks, Reed. I don't know. I can swear. I swear it said Bovey was coming up next, man.
I'll take that. He's a smart guy.
Who, Bovey?
Yeah.
He's a very smart guy.
Yeah.
Reed, not so smart.
Poor
all right, all right. Let's recalibrate here. We welcome Chris Meany into the studio. Fantasy Sports Network superstar, Chris Meany.
Oh, I'll take that too.
Yeah, how you doing, Chris?
Not bad, you?
All right, we're still recovering from the famous Red Heat and Rage Golf Classic, the first ever.
Yeah.
I think we'll probably do it next year. It should be an annual
thing. You should. That's what I mean. You should. And now I know it wasn't the turnout that you wanted, but we all went. We all had a blast. You got some traction. Now you're going to do it again. I mean, you had two guys come from Newfoundland.
It's going to take me a year to recover. And what I want to know is how come, like, I'm all red and peeling like a lizard. Cam's got, like, boils on his leg, and you look the same. Like, how is this?
My arms are a little darker. I think it's the native in me. I don't burn. I just don't burn. I get dark. I get the tans. I don't peel. It is what it is. And I didn't walk around without a hat on for the first 7 or 8 holes in the hottest day of the year.
I'm still hung up on the last 2 years.
The native?
I feel like George Costanza. Should we be talking about this? Like,
well, it's not wrong.
No, I know. It's good. Good. You just caught me off guard there.
Yeah.
All right. The native. How about Jerry Remy last night?
Yeah.
This guy's unbelievable. Your son's a stone-cold murderer, all right? Your son is a steroid dealer, murderer, wife beater. He's in jail for life for killing his girlfriend. And you're worried about Japanese translators.
Yeah.
What a shock, eh, that someone from Boston said something a little on the, what did he say? Learn to speak baseball.
Yeah, learn to.
Why don't you just say speak
baseball,
American?
The baseball language or something like that.
And it started earlier in the day, too, with Mike Schmidt talking about Herrera.
Yeah.
Can't build a team around this guy who speak English.
Yeah. Which is brutal. Like, just awful because. Like,
hey, Mike, half the league. It's not. You're not in the 70s anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Where the shortstop's name is Jesus. And he, you know, the only other Mexican dude is the dude you score your dirt weed from. All right? Your league's a little different now, Mike.
And Odubel Herrera is a stud, by the way, and you probably can build around him. He's still fairly young.
But what I understand, if like 6 of the players out of your 9 players are Hispanic,
then what does
then
it matter?
Therefore might make sense then for the leader to be Hispanic.
Yeah, yeah.
He can relate to more people on the team.
It's both ludicrous comments.
Yeah, yeah. All right. NBA Finals. The Cavaliers are on the ropes. I thought this series was going 7 games.
I thought 6 for sure, too.
I'm not ready to write off the Cavaliers as much as everybody else is right now, at least for this evening.
Yeah.
I think the Cavaliers are going to win tonight, and they're plus 145 on the money line.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just don't think that they're going to win. Golden State is so good.
You think they're going to get swept?
Yeah, I think they're going to get swept. And that's the thing. If they don't win today, they definitely don't win game 4. So I think they're going to get swept. I think Cleveland threw their best game at them, LeBron especially. And just look at some numbers here. So 214 playoff games that LeBron has played in the finals. Games 1 and 2 of this series are the fastest of all the 214. And I look at game 2 in particular where he was really good, especially in the first half. So in the first half, he had five drives to the basket, 8 transition plays, and he averaged his shots were 3.3 feet away from the floor average. You know what he did in the second half? 0 drives, 3 transition plays, and his average shot from the field, it was 17.7 feet. It's like he just seemed gassed.
Wow.
He looked tired. You see him at the end of the third quarter. I've never seen him like just sweat and be gassed so much.
He's never had a challenge like he has chasing Kevin Durant.
Yeah,
and he's on the wrong end of it.
Yeah, and he's getting a lot of questions about pace. Do you need to slow it down? And
he's defensive about it.
Yeah, he's really defensiveless when we play at our own pace.
But how much of this comes into the psychological, mental factor in which, like you said, he's beaten down. Like, by the time it was game 2, second half, he's thinking, all right.
He's done. He's exactly.
What am I going to do? What do you want me to do? Am I going to run around?
And that's been.
So I think that affects the stats a little bit.
Yeah, and it's been the third quarter where it's been their worst quarter in this series. Plus 13 in game 1, plus 12 in game 2 for the Warriors.
Shows Golden State can just turn it up.
It's Kyrie going to the basket for a quick transition play, and then you get a basket in 3 seconds, and then they go back the other way and score 3. So it's not so much on Cleveland. Obviously Cleveland is good, but Golden State is just so much better. They got 4 guys who can score. They got 4 guys who can defend. And we talked about Harrison Barnes last time. Harrison Barnes, 65 points in the 7 games in the finals last year. Durant already has 71. I mean, it's just too much to overcome. And you're right. This is the game. If you want to go all in the Cavs, this is the game that I expect them to come back. And last year they won by 30.
Yeah.
I just don't see it this year. And I think Golden State will know.
Well, you're a big LeBron guy and LeBron numbers. And I talked about this a little bit with Mark Lawrence, in which 5 times in the playoffs, LeBron's been down 0-2.
Yeah.
four of the five times he's won game three.
Yeah.
So he has been in this spot before.
Absolutely.
But I've been talking about this for the last couple of days, and you mentioned it, Chris. There's a fatigue factor and there's a resignation factor with LeBron that I've never seen before, in which he almost had that look after game one.
Defeat.
Like,
yeah,
you know, we're done. Like, yeah. This is, it's too much. And it's too early for him to be displaying that for the rest of his team. Like,
because he didn't have that look last
year. No, he's never had this look in his life.
Yeah.
And I've said this many, many times, guys, but he was just like DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
When DeMar DeRozan, after, he didn't care. He was just sort of at the podium with
LeBron.
His kid.
Yeah.
And he said, what happened? They have LeBron, we don't.
We don't.
Case closed.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, that's basketball. What did he say after game one? They have Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
And he goes, they have Kevin Durant. And once again, they have Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
And normally, a player would say, come on, man, you're a competitor, Chris. Normally, LeBron would be like, everyone's writing us off. Series doesn't start till you lose at home. We're going back home.
Well, look at the Predators.
Yeah. Instead, LeBron's like, yeah, we're in a big hole.
I know.
He's basically like, yeah, we're screwed.
And you're right. And I've never seen that. And you got to wonder about everybody's psyche inside the locker room when they hear their leader say something about that. And then even this morning before I came on, I'm looking at his press conference in the side, and he's down in the dumps. He's like,
I know, he's all. Like,
yeah, you know, we prepared tonight. I mean, last night. And he's clearly not in the game.
But you know as well as I do.
Bring it again tonight, but it has to be more.
You know as well as I do. The NBA is so reliant on the three ball now.
Yeah.
It's just going to, it's so simple. We can overanalyze everything. They're going to shoot threes early.
Yeah.
If they go in, the arena's going to go crazy. They're going to get their little shimmy back. J.R. Smith will hit a couple of threes. And, you know, Irving will be taking it to the rack and everything will fall back into place for them. If they don't, you know, it could be a big problem for them.
And I don't know what J.R. Smith is smoking. I probably do know what he's smoking. But today he said he's one of the best players on the court. And he's going to prove that tonight. He's going to start the game.
Yeah, I like the confidence factor.
Yeah, I like the confidence factor too. But for J.R. Smith, when you look at his numbers, I mean, he's been invisible in this series.
I want to get to the Stanley Cup and a little Jeremy Maclin as well. You know, you look at the matchup tonight. And I think Kyrie Irving is really going to raise the level of his play tonight.
He has to.
Well, he's 8 for 23 the other night. But you mentioned LeBron James. And LeBron James, 28 points a game. He's triple-double the other night.
He's having a triple-double.
So nobody's going to credit, LeBron isn't doing enough. Yeah. But Pete Annapolis was on the show yesterday, former assistant coach at UMass. He basically called out LeBron. Yeah. He said, no. Michael Jordan had 8 games in the NBA Finals of 50 points or more.
So
Kobe Bryant's had 1. LeBron's got none. So 28 points a game is nice.
Yeah.
And I know you're not a pure scorer, but it's almost the case tonight. And I expect it, and I'm betting the prop to go over the number tonight with LeBron. He's going to score over 32.5 points. LeBron needs to score 48 points tonight type of deal. Like every time he gets the ball, run like a football player. Do his end move and take like Gronk.
To the hoop. And that's what I saw in game two in the first half. And it's like, wow, can LeBron keep this up? He's being aggressive.
Yeah.
And then in game two, he's settling and he's not being aggressive. He's trying to get his teammates involved. But you're right. I mean, that's a great point. Is LeBron, let's see him put up a 40-50 point game. Let's see him jack up 30
points. If you want to be known as one of these all-time.
Go out with your best effort and saying, listen, if we're going to win tonight, follow my lead.
Hey, we saw Jordan hang 56 in Boston once in the playoffs.
And a lot of times LeBron comes out of these games, right, averaging a triple-double, shooting 55% from the floor, but he's shooting 14 times a game.
Not
and
enough.
11 for 14. So, yeah, you're right. Let's see him jack up 34
but
shots.
But I think it's a good bet. We'll get to the props, right? We got 2 minutes. Word out of Pittsburgh is now. I don't know if it's true or not, but Sullivan seems to be wavering a little bit on the goaltending situation right now. Do you go back to Marc-Andre Fleury here?
I wouldn't. I wouldn't go back to him. I would just keep riding Murray. I mean, Murray's not the reason they lost those last two games.
I know, but Fleury wasn't the reason they lost the games before.
Sure.
And he they're looking to shake something up. You know what my deal is? I'm with you. I would stick with Murray because you know why? You play Fleury, you lose. You can't go back to Murray again.
You're
basically saying, all right, we're in with Fleury now for the next 2 out of 3.
Yes. Yeah, so if
they're both good goaltenders.
They're both good goalies.
I don't know. I would just, I think it would be a sign of panic if you did it now, Chris. I'd go with Murray.
I agree. And I was shocked actually to see Sullivan go with Murray. So I wouldn't be shocked to see him go with Fleury.
That's what I'm saying.
So, that really, I was really surprised with that against Otto that he went to Murray, but clearly it was the right decision. Murray is the better goaltender. He's not the reason. I actually liked what I saw from Pittsburgh in game 4. I'm looking at all the numbers in the series, 50 plus shot attempts in all situations for Nashville. scoring chances plus 28. Everything is just heavily favored for Nashville. And in fact, it was actually favored for Pittsburgh in that game.
Without shooting 123.
I liked what I saw. I know. I liked what I saw, at least from Pittsburgh in that game. I like a bounce back game.
Me too.
I think the Preds win this. I think they win the cup.
You know, it's funny. I like the Pens to win this game. I told Lawrence, I think the Pens win tomorrow. I think Nashville wins game six, and we're going seven games. I wish we had more time right now, but this is the one thing. You just talked about it. You could argue that this series should be over.
Yeah.
Like, I'm okay. That's a little bold. Let's say 3-1.
3-1 for
3-1
sure.
3-1 for sure. Yes. Rene gave those two games away, literally one of them for real, okay? So let's say they're up 3-1. It's amazing to me. Hockey's not fair. This is the one thing that bothers me about it. You played hockey. I played hockey.
Win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
well, look at Anaheim. Anaheim probably should have beaten Nashville.
Look at basketball.
Yeah.
The better team's going to win. Football, generally,
yep.
Better team. We're going to push you out of the way. We're going to run into the end zone. Each sport, tennis, the better player wins. I'm better than you.
Yeah.
Hockey, hey, we're dominating you. Son of a bitch, you guys scored, we lose.
Yeah.
That's the frustrating thing about being a hockey player and betting on hockey. Paul Bovey joins us next. He better be joining us, Reed. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morency. Let's bring in Paul Bovey. You can find his red hot picks sizzling over at VegasInsider.com. Paul, always a pleasure. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Gabe. How you doing?
Look at you, Paul. California dreaming. Hey, you got the bright shirt, nice California lifestyle, huh?
It's all good, except we get what's called June gloom. And it's about 25 days of cloud cover, and it does not lift until late in the afternoon if we're lucky. And in the last week, it has not lifted. So it's like Vancouver in December.
Oh, really? Vancouver. I've been to Vancouver. Hey, it can't be that cold. But let me ask you, Paul, you're the king of season tickets, man. You got season tickets for all kinds of teams. Now you got multiple teams in L.A. Are you a Rams season ticket holder already?
No, actually, I put down the deposit, and I flirted with the idea of getting Rams season tickets. Then I started to think about driving to the Coliseum and parking. Old guys don't do that. We sit in front of the
exactly.
TV 10 games at a time. Gamblers don't
yeah,
do
I
that.
I can't imagine you, Paul, thinking Sunday morning, you got all the games going on. You're like, you know what? I feel like driving to Watts.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to go to South Central. Because people don't realize the stadium's smack dab in the middle of South Central.
It's like, I'm paying $75 to park because that's what they were doing early on before I think
so
the Rams.
So let me ask you, what about the Chargers? Because the Chargers seems a little bit more upscale. You get that nice MLS stadium. Where is it? In Carson? Nice smaller stadium. I think that's going to be a good time there.
It'll be a good time, but the seating capacity is way down from San Diego, as I understand.
Yeah, 30,000.
So 30,000, right?
Yeah, 28,000 only type thing. So you know what, though? It's very similar to the CFL, Paul, in which, you know, there's a lot of 35, you know, and then they're 35, 40. There's a few bigger stadiums. But they tried to downsize a little bit, but it's sort of like Fenway and Wrigley. They only hold 38,000, 42,000. They're historic. They're loud as hell. And there's a lot of CFL stadiums, Paul, where there's only 30,000 people there. But the fans are so down on top of the players that it is very loud. So I think we're going to have a similar situation, actually, at the Charger games. You know, better to have 30,000 people that are really into it lower than, you know, 48,000 people in a 60,000-seat stadium scattered around in San Diego. You know what I mean?
Gabe, I used to love the old Orange Bowl because that's exactly the way it is. You had the bench seating, which kind of sucked, but you were right on top of the field.
Yeah, okay, so let's talk some basketball. There'll be a lot of time to talk about football this summer. I'm taking the Cavs tonight. Yeah, it's like trying to rob the same bank 2 days in a row. I know it's risky, but I'm following the patterns here. They won by 30 last year. I know Durant wasn't on the team. But I can't resist the plus 145 on the money line tonight, Paul.
Well, I'm not on the side here, Gabe. I can't go against the Warriors tonight. I think the Cavs will play a spirited game, and they'll be in it. But at the end of the day, I'm going to stick to my guns and And that, what I said before the series, the Golden State Warriors are just a superior basketball team. And I think the overhang of last year's loss will keep them very motivated, as will the thought of going 16-0 throughout the playoffs.
What are your thoughts on all the talk about the Cavs have to slow it down? They have to slow it down. Everybody's saying it, but I read an interesting interview with Mike Fratello, Coach Fratello, talking about it's suicide if they don't. You know, he basically said they've tried this twice. It didn't work. LeBron says that's not who we are. And it's interesting because I'm thinking, well, LeBron, you're not the coach. So the coach is going to dictate the tempo tonight, but LeBron might as well be the coach, right? So, you know, what do you expect? I don't think they're going to slow it down. I think they're just going to hope that their 3-point shots go in. Let's call it out for what it is. That's what it's going to come down to.
That's what it's always come down to, Gabe. As I said before the series, they needed to hit 40-45% from beyond the arc to have a chance here. And they've hit 19 out of 60. And no, they're not going to slow it down because that's out of their personality. It's out of character. And they are going to continue to run. And they have to hope that the Golden State Warriors hit a soft spot at some point during the game and they hit their shots. That's what it's all about, Gabe. Hit those 3-point shots. Cleveland right now scoring 97.4 points per 100 possessions in this series, and that would put them last in the NBA during the regular season. They're not scoring points.
All right, quick thoughts on the total before we get to some player props.
On the total, I like the over. I mean, you got two teams that are going to crank it up. Cavaliers are going to keep trying to score, and as long as they stay in the game, they should score a lot of points. Look, that first game would have went over, except the Cavaliers couldn't score points.
I know.
That's what it's all about.
I know. And even though the NBA is full of quitters, I don't think, you know, tonight's a desperation game. And like you said, Golden State doesn't want to give Cleveland life here. They don't want to relive. And, oh, remember when it was 3-1 and the 3-1 legacy pops? It's an ugly head. All right, let's blast through some props. Our boy Kyrie Irving's been struggling. 8-for-23 from the field the other night. Prop tonight, over under 24.5 points. I think Kyrie brings it tonight, but the numbers are pretty, it's a sharp one. I wouldn't be surprised if he's right around that, but I think Kyrie responds tonight. What's your quick take on Kyrie? We'll get to LeBron next.
Interesting you bring him up because a few minutes ago I took him over 33.5 at +5-1 because he's a better scorer at home as opposed to the road. And he showed that in two of these series. His numbers are radically better at home. They were against Indiana specifically. He's shooting, I think it was 56% at home versus like 43% on the road. And then last year he had two games where he exceeded 30 points at home. The other game was 23. I mean, it's pretty simple, Gabe. Kyrie Irving scores points.
I hit the Durant prop in game one, highest score, +265. LeBron is +175, and I'm going with LeBron tonight. But I think there's some value in Irving at +500 here because, like you said, he could go off for 42, 43 tonight. I think he is going to have a big night tonight. But conversely, I think LeBron's going to have a big night tonight. He's averaging 28 points a game in a series. You know, the triple-double the other night, we can get +500 in game one for a triple-double. Now it's +165 only. But over under 32.5 points for Braun. He has to score tonight, Paul. There's no choice for him.
Gabe, I agree with you. I think the one area where Golden State was vulnerable last game was when LeBron was in transition, coming down the paint. They really couldn't do much with him, and he was getting to the free throw line and scoring points. And I think he'll try to bulldoze his way into the paint again tonight, and he'll continue to do that. And some of those calls that weren't going his way last game and in game one may come his way tonight.
Kevin Love has surprised people with his numbers that he's put up. What is he averaging, 21-14? What's your take tonight on Kevin Love, over under 18.5 points?
I'm in trouble, Gabe. I have him under 107.5.
What, in the series?
Yeah, plus I have...
That's a crazy... I never even heard of a bet that crazy. You bet over under 107.5 points, Kevin Love, total points in the series.
I sent you those props, Gabe. I also have Durant over Love, and I also have Curry over...
So you really want a short series then, right? That's the key.
Well, on the laying points, you want to extend the series to give your player enough of a chance and opportunity to cover those points. But on the other hand, I do have Durant over James plus 20.5, and I have Draymond Green under 70.5 points. So it goes back and forth both ways. But basically, I do not want Kevin Love to score points. I was very upset with that 27-point output the other night.
Paul Povey, find his picks over at VegasInsider.com. Paul, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Gabe.
Paul Povey with us. We take a quick break. We come back with my plays, props. I got a ton of picks today. All right, it's time for our plays of the day, the NBA Finals. Listen, I thought the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors was going to go seven games. It seems like everybody's given up on the Cavs already. I got to admit, the Cavs are screwed. They're not winning this series, but I never said they were going to. I said they're going to be able to win on their home court, and I'm sticking to my guns. I can't pass up LeBron James at plus 145 as a home dog tonight. I don't think the points matter. Give me the Cleveland Cavaliers to win a basketball game. Let's go over the number. LeBron James, over under 32.5 points. He's averaging 28 points per game in the series. He's got to score more. I think he does. I think LeBron goes off for like 46, 47 points tonight. Let's go over 32.5 points. We gave you Kevin Durant as the high scorer in game one at plus 265. Tonight, I give you LeBron James as the high scorer, plus 175. Although Kyrie Irving's a nice long shot at plus 500, though. I think this game belongs to LeBron. It's all about LeBron's legacy tonight. Kyrie Irving's been struggling in this series. He always struggles on the road. There's a big dichotomy, man. He's much better at home. He's going to go off tonight. Let's go over 24.5 points. Kevin Love's been great. Let's go over 18.5 points with Kevin Love. Little Major League Baseball, Dodgers. How often are you going to get Clayton Kershaw? Minus 160. And yes, I know Strasburg is pitching, but let's go with the under and the Dodgers. Toronto Blue Jays, you guys really suck, man. You're screwing me over the last couple of nights. But I'm going to take a shot with Liriano on the hill. And finally, in closing, Sabathia's been awesome, man, over his last four starts. Give me CC Sabathia and the Bombers. May the winners be yours.